Peter and John heal a lame man. This is Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the time of prayer, which was the ninth hour. Now, the Jews used to pray at certain hours of the day, but of course, as Paul says, we should pray all the time. Now, that doesn't mean that you always are going to sort of be on your knees, but we should always be aware of God all through our lives and be talking to him and hear him talking back to us. Well, as they went to pray, there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. That is, he'd never been able to walk, and they carried him, or people carried him, and they laid him down each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and he begged for money from those who entered into the temple.
Once I saw a person at the beach and he didn't have many arms.
Right, well, this poor man didn't have any legs, so he couldn't walk and they had to carry him. Well, at least, that's not true to say he didn't have any legs. He had legs, but they didn't work, so they had to carry him. Well, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for some money. Peter fastened his eyes on him and with John said, "Look on us." And he looked at them, expecting to receive some money from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." So Peter, who was the great leader of the early church, he said he didn't have any silver and gold. He was not a rich man. Now, who was Peter? What job did he do?
He was a fisherman.
That's right, he was a fisherman. So he wasn't like a huge, wealthy man. But he said, "What I have, I give you." And he means, what silver and gold I've got, what true riches I've got, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that's really, I think, how we can be in this world. People always in need. People always want something material. Give me money, give me help. But the greatest thing you can give to someone is the blessing that is in Jesus. So Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. So he wouldn't have been allowed into the temple because he would have been unclean, but now he came into the temple, now he'd been cured. So all this speaks of how we not only help people materially, but especially we're trying to help people to come into fellowship with God. Everyone saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging for money at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder at the thing that had happened to him. Now, presumably, this man had been sitting there all through the years when Jesus was doing his ministry and coming to Jerusalem, and Jesus presumably walked by him. Jesus presumably didn't heal him. And it just shows that sometimes God does not act as quickly as we would like, because he has another plan. Yet his plan works out. Well, as the lame man who'd been healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he said to the people, "You men of Israel, why are you amazed? Why do you look so carefully at us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this person to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, betrayed him, denied him in the presence of Pilate, and Pilate was determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One and the Just, and you desired a murderer, that's Barabbas, to be given unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness before you all." So Peter is saying to the Jews, "You killed Jesus." Well, they could have said, "No, it wasn't us, it was the Romans." But of course, it was effectively the Jews, because it was them who got the Romans to do it. So when you do something wrong, don't think, well, I didn't actually do it. Then you've got someone else to do it for you. Be honest and recognize that you really have done that. Then Peter goes on and he says, brothers, I think that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God had earlier showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that's in the Old Testament, that Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, should suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and when he shall send Jesus the Christ, who before was preached to you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of everything, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the kingdom, which will be established on earth when Jesus returns, will be a restoration of all things. It will be a restoration of the Garden of Eden, and go back to how we were before Adam and Eve sinned, and a restoration of the kingdom of God as it was in the nation of Israel, where God was their king, and his kings sat on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Peter goes on, for Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brothers like unto me, that's like unto Moses. Him you shall listen to in everything that he shall say to you. And whoever will not listen to that prophet will be destroyed from among the people. So then Jesus was the prophet like unto Moses, who, it says here, was like unto his brothers. So Jesus was not God himself. He had our nature. He was like his brothers, and that's us. He was like Moses, who was also human. And it's because of that that God highly exalted him, and we, therefore, are to be obedient to him. Well, Peter goes on, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed after have all foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant, or the set of promises, which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, your special son, will all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away each of you from his sins. So the blessing which we are promised is not just forgiveness, but to be turned away each of us from our sins. So each of us have got our own special weaknesses. It might be tantrums. It might be provoking others. It might be selfishness. It might be feeling sorry for ourselves because something's not quite right in our lives or we're not good at something. It may be pride, proud that you're good at drawing or music or something like that. And yet Jesus has the power to turn us each away from our sins. So he is working in our lives to turn us away from our sins. I think we all feel that sometimes, that I'm so naughty, I'm so weak, how can I be better? Well, only Jesus can really turn us around. And that's why we encourage people to be baptized, so that God will give them the gift of the Spirit and to change them around for him.